You just got called up to the big league, son. Welcome to the show. This is Schemann and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com.
Yeah, it's our number three. Schemann and Shepherd on a Friday. Hey, congratulations to Terry. He won the few round of golf at Stony Brook. Good job, Terry. Great job. Rick won earlier and later on. The next hour, we will be giving away another pair of tickets for our bus trip, which gets you on the bus and tickets to the game for the Red Sox and Rays on Saturday, August 25th. 6:05 start. We'll leave here between 3 and 3:30. It's going to be a good time.
Oh, Papa John's fallout continues. The New York Yankees are just announced that they have suspended their relationship with Papa John's.
Wow. There's a lot of Papa John's down here.
Yeah, I put Papa John's better than Domino's, better than Pizza Hut.
I don't think I've had
Papa. We've had this conversation. I think it's the best chain pizza.
Like I said, because you guys don't have.
But I don't do chain pizzas.
I don't either.
So, I don't know what that really means.
Yeah, it's, you know. But I'm just wondering how it's going to affect people.
Best part about a Papa John's pizza, two parts. Nothing to do with the pizza. It's the peppercini that you get. Love that little peppercini.
Yeah.
And then the garlic dipping sauce that you get. Now,
I don't remember ever getting Papa John's pizza.
I don't like it.
I just don't remember.
The only type of flavored crust that I can go from those chains is the stuffed crust. It would, with just the mozzarella cheese
I think
in
that's
it.
Too much.
It is. Listen, it is. I can do it though.
I can order mozzarella sticks in the same.
A couple years ago you had.
Well, it's almost offensive.
Was it Domino's came away with the tearaway crust where they had like mac and cheese flavored crust?
No, but enough of that.
I'm with you.
It's a marketing gimmick. I'm with you.
I mean, the crust should be the best part of the pizza on like a really good coal fired pizza. That crispy crunch, you leave a little bit of sauce. You got to do a little bit of planning when you eat pizza like this. But you leave a little bit of sauce, maybe a little bit of cheese. And if you get a good crispy crust, I don't think there's anything better. It's the best part of pizza.
My dad, God rest his soul, every Sunday would make, many, many years made, we watched football together, made homemade pizza from scratch. White pizza. And it usually had fish on it. Or at the time, I didn't like anchovies. He did. So half it would be anchovies. Homemade sausage, homemade pepperoni, and it was just unbelievable how he did it. Hot pepper.
Did he make his own dough and knead it and everything?
Yep,
that's awesome.
Yep. And we do it just on Sundays. And it was, it's one of the things I miss more than anybody. You just look forward to it every, especially with a nice cold, crisp autumn day, which you guys know nothing about.
We get those.
Summer days, cold, crisp summer days.
We get those.
That kind of stuff. But yeah. Yeah, there's definitely an art to making pizza. The one thing is you don't put down too much cheese and you don't put on too much sauce.
No.
You could kill a pizza that way, and the crust has to be crispy. I find it so aggravating. And it doesn't matter where you are in the country. I don't care. I don't care how gourmet the pizza is or if it's a chain pizza. The fact that you have to say all the time, no matter what, please make it extra crispy, just to get it crispy.
To get it regular crispy.
You got to say extra, 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 extra crispy to get it.
That's why I'm such a big fan of the coal-fired pizza.
Yeah.
Where you get those coals upwards of, 800?
Well, yeah, you will get the ovens, and a lot of them are shipped in from Italy. That's few places will have them. Some people get them in their homes, maybe. They're expensive. They're hard to put in. The pizza takes 90 seconds. That's the way.
In and out.
That's the way you do it.
In and out.
You got to rotate a little bit, but that's the way you do it. Unreal. All right, 239-337-3776, 239-337-3776. Bottom of the hour, we'll hit the Fenway, check in with Rob Bradford, covers the Red Sox. We'll talk about the Sox, their incredible 10-0 run here, and best record in baseball. Mookie Betts, unbelievable at bat last night. But we'll get into more baseball on the national level as well, not just the American League East, but what's going on around baseball. Morgan Madness, episode 4 coming up at 4:45 as well. Now, her parents are in the house.
Yeah, that's awkward.
Well, it's not going to stop my line of questioning.
It shouldn't.
No, it's not.
Good.
It's not. It'll be interesting.
Unfiltered.
Yeah, it's always going to be unfiltered. Absolutely. And she's got some interesting things to say today. No question. We're talking a little bit in the hall. Don't want to ruin it, but it'll be good. It'll be entertaining as always. Until then, we threw out the question earlier. I'm going to get to some NFL stuff. I threw out the question earlier about, in case you're just joining us, if you've ever taken your child, and don't talk to me about 12 and 13, I mean young kids, and you've gone to Disney movies
I think
before.
6 years.
6 years and
yeah, that's kind of the sweet spot right
yeah,
there.
Six and under, and you go to Lion King, or you go to Bambi, or you go to Snow White, or you're watching these movies, and maybe an untimed death.
Frozen,
right. Or sexual overtone is done. But mostly the deaths, such as the AKA example, Mufasa getting killed by Scar as he's screaming as he goes into the herd of water buffalo. Not water buffalo, whatever. Wildebeest, whatever.
Wildebeest, yeah.
Wildebeest. You know, how has that affected your child? What did you say to your child? We say this because Chris is going on a Disney cruise this weekend and for a week, and we're just wondering if, you know, because he's seen plenty of movies with his young son who's barely two. And how do you explain these deaths in these animated cartoons to your
Right, I'm not there yet. I have downloaded three movies just in case, you know, we get knocked out of Wi-Fi or whatever. We got yep. some backup, something.
A couple texts. There's some interesting stuff. Pretty much what I was going to say is that and The Lion King, from the first time he watched it, I always told my son, who is now 2.5, that Simba, who's the son,
right,
that Simba was just trying to get his dad to wake up from a nap, and that the dad was sleeping, and that one seems to go over with him just fine. Now, okay, because, and I know what he's saying, but what do you say as Mufasa is falling? I know Simba goes up to at the end and tries to lick his ear and put his head underneath, but what about on the fall? What do you say to that? You know? What do you say to that? I get it. That's clever though about the nap. What else? Is this? You're getting a lot of advice for this.
Yeah,
trip.
There's
the beach is supposed to be very nice, apparently.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. I will have. Well, I'm planning on having a few Coronas that day, mm-hmm. but we'll see what type of beverage selection Disney provides me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this is all good stuff here. I appreciate the texts.
I get some pizza comments. Nothing better than Pepe's in New Haven, Connecticut. Absolutely in the top three.
I've got to try that Pepe's because okay. we ran a Twitter poll last year.
You've got to go there and you have to go to New Haven.
Is that it?
Yeah. I think they're doing another one, a couple of them in New England as well, other states, but the original. No, New Haven, you know, where Yale is, not exactly.
Not a great part of
not
town,
a great
right?
Part of town yeah. that you want to go to. A lot of it is not. But, you know, but that place is world famous. But, yeah, I mean, I find the one knockabout down here is about
yeah, I don't even know if I would have gone there had they accepted me.
Yeah. Not a good enough football team?
Right.
It's too cold.
I wanted something to do on Saturdays.
Well, you're close to New York City. If that's a pretty, you're in the middle of.
I don't think my 2.4 could have gotten me in.
Could have played basketball or football for the Bulldogs.
I don't think so. Played maybe intramural flag, something like that.
You missed a Yale-Harvard game, though.
You've said that's one to go to.
That is a good spectacle to go to.
If I'm going to go to Boston College sports,
I'd go to Yale-Harvard.
It would really interest me to go to the Bean Pot.
Yeah, Bean Pot's a blast.
That seems like a lot of fun.
The final, unless you're one of the... Because
now, do they do it...
First, right around Valentine's Day. It's the first Monday or second Monday. First
but they
Monday
don't
February,
do them,
they do
They don't do them
weeks.
On campus. They
no,
do
at
them,
the Garden.
They're all at the Garden,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. No, it's
I would like to have
the championship game, and a lot of those kids think it's more important than winning the national title. It's a big deal.
We have that college hockey tournament down here at Germain every year.
They do a great job with it.
And is it B? I think BU, BU's come down a few
BU's
years.
BU's come down. BC's come down. I saw it on there when I was at the Everblades, one of the during the finals.
Well, BC's hockey team is not great, right?
No, they're always good.
BU is really good.
Yeah, but they had a couple off years, and they had,
have they?
Yeah,
okay.
They've had it when Jack Parker left, but I mean, it's you know, hockey's big in the Northeast, and I know Alabama Huntsville is the closest to B1. I think they're not going to be. Division
Are they
one.
Really?
I think they're not going to be Division One anymore.
I know FGCU's but, club hockey team
well,
has
phenomenal.
Won like two straight national championships.
I think they've or been they, 150 and one.
Yeah.
Some stupid, ridiculous number.
Yeah,
it's crazy. But Yale Harvard at either at the Yale Bowl or at Harvard Stadium. That's pretty
two
that's pretty
old
cool.
stadiums, probably.
Yeah. Yep, there's documentaries about it. There was a big famous game that was tied at 15 years ago. They did a documentary many years ago. Big stuff.
I don't know if I've told you, there's an NFL Network documentary. I've seen it one time. Mm. It's on the Muck Bowl, which is out of Pahokee. It's Pahokee and Belle Glades. High school football.
Yeah.
These two schools, the list of NFL players that come out of
off the chart.
Small towns don't begin to explain how small these towns are.
Yeah.
But the quantity and the quality of NFL player that these two towns put out, unbelievable. I believe it's called the Muck Bowl. Mm-hmm. And this is a year Janoris Jenkins was on one of the teams. Like, there's just talent across the field. Every time that these two teams get together and it's a heated rivalry, if you ever are just scrolling through late one night and you see it, click on it because it is fascinating.
Cool.
I would love to go to one of those games.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I want. Like, I've never been to the Big House. I mean, those are the kind of things I want. It's like Williams and Amherst. It's another small in Massachusetts. It's the oldest rivalry in the country.
You know, we'll
they
have to get
like
out
1,000 years in a row.
We'll have to get out down here because we got some great rivalries in Southwest Florida with high school football, Immokalee and Naples. I mean, that's one where just the talent level has kind of turned it into a rivalry. You go check out a Dunbar Fort Myers game or a North versus Fort Myers game. I mean,
this coming fall, we're going to have our Friday night game of the week.
Yeah, it's, Southwest Florida game of the week.
Awesome.
Joe Scladaney every Friday night, except one. We'll have to run a Hurricanes game but we'll have the game on our sister station, 770 WJBX. And we'll run in Fort Myers, Naples, Immokalee, the biggest games. We'll have them every Friday night for high school football. So that'll be good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We have a fantastic football lineup coming up for you. NFL and college. You know about Field on Fridays. Adam Schefter's going to join us every Monday starting, the first week of the NFL season. Roy Cummings will be here with our Tampa Bay coverage.
We have Joe Zagacki. We'll get Peter Burns on throughout the year.
Peter Burns is going to join us next week, by the way. SEC Media Day is next week. And so we'll have Peter on. He's outstanding. 239-337-3776. Anything you guys want to talk about, Freeform Friday, advice for Chris, going on a cruise alone with his couple family members, but I still think they're going to ditch him because he's with his 2-year-old son. He's going to try to pawn him off at some point, and I don't know if that's going to work out. I don't know. You know, your family members may start scattering like cockroaches to spread them out all over the ship. No, you know what?
Yeah.
You have a nice family. They'll help you out. They'll help you out.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Whatever, it's not a handful, is he? Is a handful?
No,
I mean,
listen,
terrible
it's
twos,
not,
I get it.
It's just, it's the age. Like, we've got to be doing something at all times. The concept of sitting down and chilling for a few minutes doesn't work.
But a pool helps.
Pool definitely helps, and he's a very good swimmer.
That's
so
cool.
We've been working on his swimming since he was like one.
Excellent.
I mean, he's at the point now where we kind of let him go do his own thing. So, we'll be spending a lot
of... the English Channel. Yeah, go ahead, Everett.
Be swimming a lot from a couple people who have called. They say that they've got, like, these little programs where kids go and do arts and crafts and all that.
Well, that's cool.
Stuff. So, we'll stay busy.
They must have stuff for young adults, which would mean me, and kids that would want to do stuff, like interactive. I'm sure there's a lot of games.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Stuff that I would still find at 51 years old, still find very cool to do.
I'm hoping that, I mean, I'm sure they will. They've got to have some sort of Wi-Fi on the boat where I can do, like, some Facebook Lives from the boat.
Oh, yeah.
So if there's something cool, I'll do that so everybody can see.
All right. Well, ESPN today, ESPN's NFL Nation answered a bunch of questions this week, breaking down the league division by division. So let's just go through that real quickly. And then a little bit later on, we'll have Rob Bradford at the bottom of the hour, then Morgan Madison at 4:45. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to have a pretty cool thing. Best nicknames in every single NFL locker room. Got them all. And the genesis of them. Some of them are pretty cool. You know some of them. Some of them you may not know.
Yeah, we had somebody text in.
Most of you don't know is how they originated.
We had somebody text in Muscle Hamster, which Doug Martin, who's now with the Raiders, that's a great one.
Yep, we're going to have a bunch of them. I think he's on the list, but you don't know.
He should be.
You don't know the origin of them.
Yeah.
So this is great. It's going to be like Super Friends and Avengers, the origin of all these nicknames. So the big questions, obviously, and then they polled about 4 or 5 people that cover all these cover the teams in the division, and I just have the consensus overall. So AFC East, who will win the division? Obviously,
Patriots.
They won 9 in a row. And they're favored once to make it 10 in a row. That'd be 16 division titles for Bill Belichick in 19 years as a coach. 2000, 2002, 2008, the exceptions.
Yep.
NFC East.
Eagles.
Mostly the reporters picking the Eagles to be the first team to win the NFC East in back-to-back seasons. The Eagles posted four straight back from 01 to 04.
Huh. It's a good stat.
Yep.
Well, you know, you look at it, I don't think the Giants are ready to challenge yet.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think the Redskins are going to surprise some people this year. I don't think they're as mediocre as a lot of people think.
I just think it's the big red mark is going to be on the Eagles' back, and there's going to be a lot. It's a big, big difference.
And I'm expecting
coming up as a defending Super Bowl champion, which got teams like the Steelers and the Patriots and Denver and Green Bay, many others. Not only have they not gone back the next year and failed to make the playoffs. It does happen for a variety of reasons. It's very difficult.
And I expect Dallas to take a big leap forward this year.
I don't know about that.
Listen, I love that offense.
Who's their tight end?
I love that offense when they have the running game working. And we saw it without Zeke, and it just doesn't look the same. I think the Cowboys will be right back in the mix for a playoff spot this year.
I'm not a fan of their coach at all. Well, he's wishy-washy.
You don't like a lot about the Cowboys.
No, it's not that. I used to, back before Jones took over, that was my second favorite team back in the Staubach days. And, I just hated the way they treated Tom Landry, and I just went off that wagon. I loved Dallas back in the 70s and 80s. Absolutely. A lot of heartbreak there. Could ever beat Pittsburgh. Aggravated me.
Well, you're a Patriots fan now, so...
Yeah, well, I was
that's
always
working out for you now.
They weren't in the playoffs. They had a couple good teams in 76 and 78. And besides that, always seemed to finish a game out of the playoffs. It'd be terrible. Anyway, all right, NFC North, consensus, Steelers, the unquestioned favorite for the AFC North title after winning the last two. They've got the same team basically coming back. They've won 11 and 12 division games in 2016 and 17.
Right.
They're talking about maybe, you know, the Bengals are, the Ravens are going to be, to me, the most intriguing team in that division.
I'm with you.
I can't wait to see what happens with Jackson at quarterback and if they're going to use him, not just at quarterback, but in other parts as a hybrid. We'll see. Or how much Flacco has left, who arrived today, by the way, saw him this afternoon. Hmm. It's some sort of workout. But it's going to be really interesting to see if Jackson challenges him. That's why all these exhibition games this year, I'm looking forward to seeing. Because
I'm fascinated with the Hall of Fame game.
So many young quarterbacks.
Fascinated with the Hall of Fame game.
Yep, so many young quarterbacks to look out for. AFC North, so we got the...
NFC North?
We got the NFC South.
Oh, NFC South.
Strongest division in the NFC.
I'd say Atlanta.
Maybe the NFL. This is arguably the best division in the NFL.
Atlanta?
With New Orleans, Atlanta, Carolina, all legitimate Super Bowl contenders. All three received votes to win the division with Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton as their respective quarterbacks. All three could make the playoffs. Yep, absolutely. So this is not a really consensus, you know, flip a coin. And it's really too bad. And still, a big part of me still wants to believe that Tampa Bay is going to be around. But I want to see what happens with Jameis Winston.
They've got the potential. I just think that out of those four teams, Carolina, New Orleans, Atlanta, Tampa, they by far have the most question marks.
They do on offense. But, I mean, they have the personnel there on offense.
They got
certainly
the personnel
have the best
on
defense.
Both sides.
Both sides, they might have the best. I think they have the best defense in the division.
I still think that that belongs to Atlanta. But, yeah, I mean, they've got talent across the board.
I think
Tampa love Bay can the speed.
Them.
Of Atlanta's defense. They are they're the new Seattle Seahawks defense is what I think.
No, they're not.
Oh, that, no, absolutely.
No, they're not. They weren't in the playoffs last year. By the way,
they were in the playoffs last year.
I know. Where was the defense then?
Well, they let the Eagles score, 14 points to win that game? It's pretty good.
You're right. Yeah, you know, you're right. That was a very low scoring game. You're right. The year before wasn't.
No. Got tired.
Yeah. And the Eagles' number one defense, where was that in the Super Bowl? There was no defense. Yeah. There's no defense in the Super Bowl. Very few times. I don't care what the numbers say. You throw all the stats out in Super Bowl. It doesn't matter.
And we're talking
about analyze it up and down, left and right. I don't care who's in it.
Yeah, we're talking
on the whole. You're not talking about a lot of defense.
We're talking Atlanta and Tampa's defense, and now you've got New Orleans over there saying, "Guys, you see our rookie class last year?
Yeah.
We're pretty damn good. We just missed a tackle against Minnesota."
Yep. AFC West. They're picking the Chargers overall consensus to win the division. Philip Rivers obviously is there. You got the 1-2 punch of Joey Bosa and Pouncey's there now, Melvin Ingram. So interesting. If Philip Rivers stays healthy, although they only have 25,000, less than 25,000 people that show up to
Than 30,000.
Less than 30,000 show up to their games, so we'll see.
Yeah, that's a fascinating division, I think. Yep. I think Case Keenum is going to take the Broncos forward from where they were, get some legitimate quarterback play.
Has the potential to do it.
Has the potential. We know what Kansas City has. If Mahomes is anything close to decent, that offense is going to be very difficult to stop.
I still think they are going to be the top offense in the AFC.
And
in the regular season.
And, you know, I think Oakland still has some nice pieces. I don't think they're there yet, but I think they have nice pieces.
And John Gruden, they just need to be, they just have to get it all together and be a lot more disciplined.
Yeah.
But we'll see. NFC West, Cardinals, who play for a first-year coach, and uncertainty looms around that quarterback situation. Seahawks are in rebuild mode. They missed the playoffs. Niners have a lot of question marks.
It's the Rams.
So that means the Rams.
Yep.
Atop the NFC West. They return 10 of 11 starters on offense. Remember, they bolt up their... Remember, they I forgot. They got Adamican Sue, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib. That's a pretty formidable defense.
Aaron Donald's a little upset.
A guy like Adamican Sue, you watch. He's going to thrive in this team because he's not going to be... He's going to be put in a different spot here where it's not going to be all on him.
They have two of the five best defensive tackles in the game.
Yep. Sam Donald. And you got a really good secondary. Aaron Donald. Let's see. Who will be the division's MVP? All right, AFC East, everybody.
Did you skip NFC North?
Did I skip NFC North?
Yeah, I don't think we got NFC North. Vikings.
That's right. The Vikings, yep. With Kirk Cousins, get the nod to win the division. Despite the Packers and the return of Aaron Rodgers, and I still think that division is up for grabs. I think the Lions are going to be better than people think. I think they're going to knock each other around. It would not surprise me if just 10 wins that division. I don't think anybody's going 13-3 and pulling away.
239 texting in. Dude, everyone knows the Vikings defense is the new Legion of Boom with Pro Bowlers at every level in Minneapolis. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that defense is legit. Very legit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They were very legit last year, too.
Yeah, they are.
Until they lost.
Yeah, they... It's interesting now, though, they got to start paying some of those guys on defense. It's kind of where Seattle was before they made their little Super Bowl run, where you got to pay the guys because you've got your window now, but you've already paid Kirk Cousins his money. How much money is going to be left over for everyone? And at what point do you look at a guy and say, sorry, you're going to have to walk?
A few other things here before we take a break. Rob Bradford joins us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk baseball. Who will be division MVP? AFC East, obviously. It's people pick Brady.
Brian Tinno.
NFC East, Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott and Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz split the votes. Interesting. And again, you can understand that because you don't know if Carson Wentz is going to be ready to play at the start of the year.
Yeah.
So I can understand that. AFC North, they're picking Ben Roethlisberger and wide receiver Antonio Brown split the votes there. Kind of makes sense a little bit. NFC North, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers gets the pick.
Yeah.
But that is going to be interesting. Forget division MVP. Don't be surprised if Rodgers wins the NFL MVP for a third time. Okay. He stays healthy. Coming off the broken collarbone. But last time Rodgers broke his collarbone, he came back the next season in 2014, and he won the NFL MVP for the second time, led the Packers to the title game. AFC South, Deshaun Watson. No doubt. Got a pair of votes from the division writers.
Did Jalen Ramsey get any?
Let me see. I have to click on him and see.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Sarah Barship says Deshaun Watson. Mike Wells.
You know, they were, 11-5 last year, the
Jags? Mike Wells said Watson gets the nod over Andrew Luck. I don't know how anybody put Andrew Luck in this discussion at all. You don't even know he's there. Yeah, Michael DiRocco said Ramsey.
Okay, good. You start getting recognized as one of the three best corners in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's that. And we got more. We'll get into the rest of it a little bit later on. But another quick break, and when we come back, Rob Bradford will join us, covers the Red Sox, and works at EEI in Boston, my former stomping grounds. And he is one of the best in the business talking Sox, Blue Jays from Fenway. Not only that, but what is going on in the American League? What is going on in the game of baseball, really? I have some big, big questions and some big, big concerns and All-Star break coming up and the trade rumors. We'll get into all that with Rob Bradford coming up next here as Schumann and Shepherd rolls on a Friday, 99.3 ESPN.
This is Scheman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com. Scheman and Shepard.
Back here, Scheman and Shepard without Craig. He's off this week. He'll be back on Monday. Got Pete, Chris in the house as well. We'll get back to the phones in just a little bit here on a Friday. We're here until 6 o'clock. Always Scheman and Shepard live and local, 2 to 6 p.m. on 99.3 ESPN. But right now, we're going to turn our attention back to baseball. Head up north of Fenway Park. My good friend Rob Bradford from WEEI.com is in the house and at Fenway. What's up, Rob?
Pete. I mean, we're in the midst of the 2 weeks where we can say we have nicer weather than you. So, but it's only 2 weeks. You know, it comes and it goes really quick, but it's really nice out here.
Yeah, the lightning down here, though, is a little different than New England. We get some bad weather, though. It's pretty odd. We had a storm that went through here the other day that was, unbelievable. Unbelievable. But you're right. So how's everything going up there?
Good, good. Yeah. Winds, I was looking at the flag at Fenway Park right now. Wind's blowing out. So,
go
to your favorite entertainment purposes only person and say, you know, put a couple shekels on the over on this one, because I think that
I'm with you. You
know, the ball is flying out of Fenway Park, and you have certainly from the Red Sox point of view, you have a very, very good team right now.
Well, last night, and I'm lucky I get the Packers down here, so I watched the whole Mookie Betts at bat last night, and without it, to me, I'm one of the few maybe that still watches a lot of baseball, some games that sometimes I just turn them on just to see the hundreds of fans. Like, you know, Marlins, you know, they pack it with 5,000 people over there.
Yeah.
But that was an unbelievable, arguably the best at bat of the season by far. I found it absolutely fascinating. And I happen to be watching only because I love Dave and I love Eck, but I like to watch the visiting team down here, network,
right,
just because to get a little bit different perspective. Oh my goodness. And they were stunned. I mean, but 46 pitches last night in the inning by J.A. Hopp, the all-star. But what an incredible at bat by Mookie Betts. In the 13th pitch, it's a grand slam.
Yeah. And Pete, you know, you've been at Fenway. You know, sort of the ebbs and flows of the crowd and the sellout streak and then the sort of the fraudulent sellout streak and the apathy and we're trying to, people just waiting to sing Sweet Caroline. But I can tell you, like, last night was sort of this punctuation of maybe the turning point in terms of the interest in this town. Because it wasn't just about waiting for Sweet Caroline. It wasn't just about, hey, all right, we're going to be here and experience and buy some food and then they're going to win again and we're going to go on our merry way. No, in the fourth inning of a game, you had such a dramatic moment, and there was it was electricity in the Fenway Park, which you just don't see on a regular basis throughout the regular season. And I think when I say it's sort of a punctuated thing, it was a signature moment. I think that type of thing sort of springboards you into more and more sellout crowds, more and more interest. All of a sudden, you like this team that had no personality the last couple of years. You have Mookie Betts doing a defensive slide down the first baseline and almost tripping. You know, all of that. That's what everyone's been waiting for. They've not only been waiting for good teams, they've been waiting for good teams which are exciting. And they're obviously, when you win, they're exciting. But this team is doing it on so many levels, and last night was a perfect example of that.
Well, I'm looking, and of course, we carry the games here on 99.3 ESPN, so people are familiar with Tim Neverett and Joe Castiglione's calls. And you're still doing pre stuff at times, or you're too busy?
Oh, yeah. I'm still doing all the different things, you know, the pregame and, you know, whenever Joe takes a hiatus, I fill in once in a while. Yep.
But, you know, last year was the first time in my life that the Red Sox were in the postseason, and we were sitting here, and Chris and I, before the series started, what do you think? I said, I hate this team. I don't think they're going to win. I don't think they deserve to win. And it's the first time in my life watching a Red Sox team, Rob, and you know me, that I didn't think they had a chance to win. And I think it's funny what Alex Cora, I think, said after last night's game when he said, quote, I think people are starting to like this team. And I know, from some of the things you just talked about, but, I think it's night and day from last year. Despite David Price every once in a while, besides that, everything else, I love it.
Well, and here's the thing, Pete, you're right. It's the players too. And whereas last year, if you said what defined last year, this team that won back-to-back division titles, this team that won 93 games again, made the playoffs, What defined him? Well, it was Machado and Pedroia. It was David Price and Ack. It was the things off the field. It wasn't like this team is so good. No, it wasn't. And you know what? That filtered to the players too. I mean, I had Joe Kelly tell me in the offseason that every day they were in first place, it felt like they were in last place. If the players feel like that, that's how probably the fans feel as well. And I think there was an element of that. You said it in the playoffs. You go in the playoffs, sure, you know, you have a good team, but how demoralizing is it when the other team can hit a three-run homer every other batter, and you're hoping to string together four singles to stay in the game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a totally different dynamic right now.
I mean, first time since 1949. Great book, by the way, Summer of 49 by Dave Halberstam. I was talking about it earlier. I think it's one of the best sports books I've ever read. But first time since 1949 that there are 37 games over 500, which is it really is unbelievable. And not only is it a testimony of how they play, but also in the reverse, this league stinks in so many ways. And if you're not a fan of the Red Sox, Yankees, Astros, Dodgers, maybe the Phillies, they're surprising this year, the Cubs, Rob, I still think there's a major issue here. You got 21 of the 30 teams that are going to average under 29,000 fans a game, and that's down here. The Marlins set the record last the other night, 5,200 fans. There are only 200 left in the 12th inning. The Red Sox and Yankees are ready to pillage the Rays and the Marlins for all their good players coming up here. You got the White Sox, the Orioles. I mean, a historic franchise, 38 and a half games behind a bunch of teams ready to lose over 105 plus games. Do you think the league isn't? They don't market the players very well. I mean, you look, you understand. You have a wide range. You don't just look through Red Sox glasses. But right. Do you think this league is in trouble?
Yeah. I mean, I think that for a lot of reasons that you mentioned, I think there's an acceptance in baseball to be bad. There has been out of the gate this year, and it's coming to fruition. So, and so when you have teams come in, you're like, all right, who do I want to see play? I mean, this is a very real problem. And maybe in 3 or 4 years, some of these guys that we don't know too well, they're going to become superstars. But right now, guys, teams come to Fenway Park. Oh, here comes Detroit. Oh, I can't wait to see this person play. Who? You tell me. The Toronto Blue Jays are in here right now. Who's going to be on the Blue Jays that I have to see play? No, if Josh Donaldson's hurt, nobody.
Nobody.
And so, I looked it up about a week ago. Maybe it was at the beginning of the last series. And so the five next teams the Red Sox were playing in series, they were a collective under 74 games under 500. I mean, that Red Sox are going to pound teams and they are going to win 100 games. And what this has become around here, Pete, really, mm-hmm. It's become, oh, it's a nice little activity, and you have nights like last night, and that's great. But really, it's all about
David Price beating the Yankees.
The Astros, and the Indians.
No, I totally agree. And I think the big question, obviously, can David Price win a playoff game? Can he beat the Yankees, who seem to still be in his head? I mean, that's the last time they lost was that debacle July 1st.
Yeah, and you know, I said this in spring training, and I think it still holds up. I think David Price is maybe the most important player in the entire American League. And the reason is because this is a guy who obviously has the potential to be a top-of-the-rotation lockdown guy, not only because he was paid all this money, but we saw it coming out of the bullpen in the playoffs last year. He was their best player in the playoffs as a reliever. Mm-hmm. So you have that ability. If you can have that guy, then all of a sudden you get Sale and you get Price and then you get the Porcello and Rodriguez. But if you don't have that guy, Pete, then good luck in game two against Trevor Bauer, against Garrett Cole, against CC Sabathia, who owns the Red Sox. Good luck. And you know, so David Price, getting him right is an enormous, enormous thing for them.
No, I totally agree. All right, speaking with Rob Bradford from WEI.com, covers the Red Sox and follows Major League Baseball as well as anybody. Trading deadline coming up, All-Star game coming up. The Home Run Derby looks pathetic outside. It really does. I mean, nobody wants to be in it anymore. I find the festivities sort of boring now. I still watch the game, the only All-Star game I watch. But the Machados of the world, a lot of good relievers on the Rays, or some good players on the Rays, some good players on the Marlins and around baseball. Who do you think is going to get home? Who's going to make the big splash come the deadline at the end of the month.
You know, here's the thing, and you're right, there's a lot of them. So I think it's going to be crazy at the end of this deadline more than ever. And it comes back to what we were talking about before. Almost every team is bad. And almost every one of these bad teams has some valuable relievers that they can trade. So if you're the Red Sox, why do you wait? Like, you're playing bad teams. You're not going to lose ground. And you can get to the end and figure out what relievers are left. And you don't have to be proactive about this, because if you miss out on one reliever, there's going to be five others to get. And they're all going to be decent. You know, Zach Britton and Kyle Barraclough and a lot of these other guys, they're good relievers on bad teams. So it is to me, it's going to be the ultimate buyer's market. And we're going to be at the end of this deadline, we're going to be seeing all kinds of action, which is great. It's great. This is what we want, right? We don't want just the, oh, here you go. There wasn't anything to do. The price was too high. No, the price shouldn't be too high, because the price isn't going to be too high.
Really interesting. All right, Rob, so before I let you go, it was announced earlier this week that the Rays are going to try to build a stadium in Ybor City. Do you think that's ever going to happen, or are we looking at the Montreal Rays or another nickname coming up in the next several years? I don't know how taxpayer money is going to go towards that stadium after the debacle in Miami at all.
Yeah, well, tell me this. And you know, I saw the quick comment, I think, from the Rays hierarchy. They said the question was asked, how are you going to pay for it? That we don't know yet?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, what is going on? What? We don't know yet? And you're right. It's like, How do you sell it after what you saw in Miami? Like, how do you do that? It used to be, Pete, you know, going back, what Camden Yards did is like, okay, you build a stadium in the middle of the city, it revitalizes the city, and then you had Cleveland try to do it, and it was okay for a while, and it worked for a while, but then you had other places try to do it as well, and it never really took root. That, like, that whole narrative, we're going to build a baseball park in the area, and it's going to revitalize everything else, and it's going to work because of the baseball park. No, that doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. You have to have the fan base, and as you know, how is Miami any different from Tampa? How is that going to be any different? I don't know. I can't imagine it will.
No, I don't think it is. Hey, Rob, thanks so much for taking a few minutes. Enjoy the rest of the summer at Fenway. We'll definitely check in with you soon. Always a pleasure, my friend.
All right, Pete, anytime. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thanks a lot. Rob Bradford, WEI.com. Quick break. Morgan Madness up next here on a Friday. Sheeman and Shepherd roll on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Call or text us at 337-3776 and listen wherever you are on the 99.3 ESPN app. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
Right back here, Sheeman and Shepherd rolling along. Craig will be back on Mondays on vacay. Chris is in the house. So we'll get back to your phone calls in a little bit at 339-337-3776. But I was off last week on vacay, so I missed Morgan Madness. But Morgan is in the house, and I'll tell you what. My first week back this week, I couldn't get down the part of the building. You were redecorating. You looked like some kind of architect out there. You also have an audience today, but what in the hell were you doing this week? And that I've seen, there are more people that between Summon Sales and you and your predecessor that move more stuff around. It amazes me, but it looks very nice.
Thank you. So my office was a closet, and I did not like the feeling of being in a closet, you know? So now it's not a closet. We've painted the walls. We have some decor, thanks to my lovely mother who painted me some pictures. It was very nice.
You brought your mom and dad in today. They're sitting right across from me.
Yes. Yeah.
So what do they think about this segment?
They think it's great.
We won't let them speak, I may.
I don't want to open up.
I can turn a mic on.
I don't want to open up a can of worms with some embarrassing
I do.
Stories.
That's what I do. I open up cans of worms.
I mean, I thought I've told some pretty good embarrassing stories already, but.
All right, so you redecorate the office, and your parents were there. They're helping you redecorate?
Yes, they helped me paint and do. I did it, I would say, 50% of the
painted
manual.
In there, too?
Yeah, we painted the wall red.
Did you find anything worth, anything good in there?
No. It's nothing but crap. Nothing.
And now the hallway's clear.
Yeah, it's completely done now. And now I actually have to sit down and do work that I put off all day today.
Like what?
I just checked my emails and I had like 10 things of life or death tasks that need to get done.
Okay, get this.
Friday evening.
I'm gonna, now your parents are here too. This is interesting, right? Chris is going on a Disney cruise this week with his young 2-year-old son, Everett, right?
Yeah.
You know what he just said last hour? He goes, I'm going to leave, his wife's not going. He goes, I'm going to leave my wife a list of stuff to do.
Yeah, like a to-do list.
How would Dak,
a money to-do list?
How would Dak go over with your mom if your dad left, if went on vacation, if say it was, say you were two, and left your mom and left a list for your mom. How would that go over?
She'd do it, but kicking and screaming.
Look at that. Look at that.
So now Chris thinks it's doable. Like I could see, you know, mow the lawn.
I mean, it's
clean the
lawn. Would you do it for her if she left you a honey to-do list?
She has left me lists multiple times, yes.
Yes, and you do it completely to perfection.
Well, I do it. The job gets done.
So, like, I would not expect perfection in return from her.
That's fine.
If it were me and my significant other left me a to-do list, I would pick the things that I wanted to do and decide if I want to make time for the other things.
I would look at the list and do everything worse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you said, clean the toys up and forever. And I'm like, I hope she dumps them on your side of the bed.
So what I'm hearing, what I'm hearing from Morgan right now is just load the list up, right? Put 10 things down on the list. If she does 4 of them, that's a win in my book, right?
Yeah, and she's a complete saint if she does do
that. I appreciate that.
I hope she changes the locks, and you can't
get
in.
But I would expect a very nice present at return if I were the one waiting at home.
Oh, you would be expecting a nice present. Well, I am taking the kid for 4 days, so.
I mean, but still, I would like some sort of gift. Let's see.
Okay.
I mean,
so
you're
like
going
a nice convertible Mercedes.
I was thinking like a Mickey Mouse charm or something for a bracelet, right?
No, that's so corny.
He spent $80 on Disney T-shirts today for,
what?
For
Morgan,
himself.
Look at his shirts.
And bought his kid a leather jacket.
Okay, let me explain.
Bought little
first.
Everett a leather Fonzie from Happy Days jacket.
I am the only female in the millennial world that is not a diehard fan of Disney or like trying to be a Disney princess. I grew up in Orlando, right near Disney, and I could not care less.
I mean,
about
how
it.
Cool is this shirt? That's an awesome shirt, right? I'll describe
what's in
it
that
to
drink?
Everybody.
What's
know.
In that drink? A Long Island iced tea.
I don't know if that's age appropriate for your son.
You got Mickey Mouse in a hammock.
That's all for him. He
with
didn't get
a Florida hat. Yeah, I didn't get anything for my kid.
What?
Yeah, drinking a little like a blue cocktail. Like, it's
and you're
gonna
wear that?
Absolutely.
You're the type of tourist I would laugh at.
Yeah.
Are you gonna wear sandals with your socks as well? Or do you have a fanny pack?
No.
I swear to God, if I see somebody wear sandals with socks, I would deport them from wherever
I've
the heritage is from.
Okay, this is a serious thing.
But girls can get away with anything. I'm not talking about girls.
I don't think the fanny pack is out of style anymore.
It's back. What else is something embarrassing for tacky tourists, though? I mean, you gotta embrace it. Like,
a bad hat. Bad hat.
Yeah, the big straw hats, even though those are really in style now, too. But...
Right? See, dorky is coming back in style. The white nose.
Yeah, that's why I'm so cool.
Well, I'm dorky. I'm nerdy. I get it. David says, by the way, the text line, who is this lady just got in the car?
Hi, I'm Morgan.
It's Morgan Madness.
This young lady.
What's your official title? You're beyond event coordinator. You're like event president.
I am promotions coordinator.
Promotions coordinator, yeah. She takes care of all 6 stations because it's a very difficult job, by the way. And she's here every Friday on Sheeman and Shepherd at 4:45. Your parents came in. They built you a new house down the hall for your office.
It's wonderful.
So what's up for the weekend?
We are going to go back and do projects around my apartment tonight. And tomorrow we're
going to... Who's
we? Me and the fam. I have...
Okay,
I
so your mother and father are going to do projects around your house. What are you going to do? Order pizza?
Yeah.
Netflix?
I'm going to...
Binge the show?
Cook a really delicious meal
microwave
that I've
what?
Ordered from some restaurant and just pretend that I made it.
Put it in some homemade dish, serving dishes, that sort of thing.
It'll look nice.
I like
so what has to be done in your apartment? What has to be done? What projects?
I mean, I'm not the cleanliest
screen
person,
room.
So
wait, they're cut.
Okay,
they live in Orlando, right?
Let's have a little bit of backstory. So I moved to Fort Myers over 2 months ago. And they missed me because I lived at home for a year and a half after I graduated college. And like
from the
they're
fake
just
UCF championships.
So still. Much withdrawal.
You have
from...
the fake UCF championships.
No,
right?
Absolutely.
The real UCF.
It's real.
Fake champions, though.
Yeah, the real fake.
Fake champions.
It's...
So they missed. Okay, that's understandable. I understand that.
Yeah, so they
nobody
miss
misses me.
So they're here, and I am taking full advantage of mom and dad being here. And I
greatly
appreciate it.
All right, so you built your parents built you a new office. Now they've built you a new apartment. By the time you're going to order pizza or microwave whatever food you're going to give them.
They're blessed with my presence all weekend long.
That's a great line. That's a great line.
I think the opposite.
I'm going to use that.
You are blessed with their presence.
Yeah, that sometimes.
So what else is going on? Okay, so after your dad renovates and your mom renovates your whole apartment, then what?
We're going to hit the beach tomorrow, go out to a nice dinner, and then
Now, how do you
take them somewhere classy like Lonnie Kai? Give them the true
we're going
Fort Myers
to Lonnie
Beach.
Kai. Booty shaking.
What party booty shaking contest?
So,
oh, they don't have that. Only during spring break.
Only during spring break, right.
I would win all day.
unfortunately, three times I've been, the guy usually wins.
Really?
Yeah, there's always a guy in there.
They get that attention because, like, a guy to have balls enough to go up there and shake his ass.
No, it's discriminatory. I don't like it.
You know?
I file protests.
I think, like, if you have a little bit of extra cushion, you can, you know, booty shake all day long.
Gotcha.
But I went to Lonnie Kai about 2 weeks ago and went hard on some rum runners.
I remember that. You said that.
Those are dangerous there, aren't they?
Yeah, so 3 o'clock rolls around.
The thunder hit.
We were boat hopping because, you know, at Fort Myers Beach, how the boats pull up. We found a pontoon boat with a slide attached to it, and it was the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. Then the rest of the day.
Wait a second. Who's driving a boat?
I don't know.
You just went up to them and said, can we have a ride?
I don't even know if I, like, this person if I could get on the slide, and I think I just boarded the boat and went down.
That's
the slide.
Pretty normal thing on Fort Myers Beach.
Yeah,
especially
I know.
Lonnie Kai.
I know it
that's,
is. Yeah, I know. There's other
it's
beaches.
It's a great time. And then I woke up at about 6 p.m. asleep on the beach, and I was just like, where did my afternoon go?
What about all this green gook, though, all over the place?
You woke up on the beach?
I woke up on I took a little nap. It was so much fun, though. I hope that the boat with the slide is there tomorrow so I can go again.
All right, before I let you go, and then whatever, I wish we could do another hour of this, but we can't. But what else? So you're going to go to the beach tomorrow, and then what? Any movies? Or
no.
You're going to take your parents out to a nice
dinner?
We're
going to go to dinner. We were just told we're between
who's paying?
Options.
You're paying, right?
Yes, because I make so much money.
What a liar.
We're going to go to dinner.
Thought that counts.
So we're thinking either Dixie Fish Company or
that's good.
The place where Firestone sells food or has food. Or
yeah, Firestone's got a restaurant.
Is it good food? Should we go there or Dixie Fish House?
Well, what are you looking for? Dixie Fish House, a little bit more laid back, a little bit more relaxed. Versus if you're going to go to Firestone, it's more like small plate appetizer, that sort of thing. Yeah. So it's what you're in the mood for, honestly.
Well, Twin Peaks, great charcuterie board there.
There you go.
As an appetizer. Honestly, it is awesome there.
I can put away a lot of food, so, yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see where the night brings us, and I will let you know next week.
Well, you are blessed with wonderful
Dixie's
parents.
A good spot, though, if you're out on Fort Myers Beach anyway. Okay. That's a good spot.
All right.
Your
we
parents
might have
seem
to
like saints.
Yes, they are.
They raised a wonderful daughter. A lot of sass.
You.
I love it. She's
another
she's
spot on Fort
worker.
Myers Beach. SOB.
SOB.
Smoking Oyster Brewery.
Oh, yeah.
Great spot.
SOB's fantastic.
Yeah. Your dad will like that place.
Yes. Right. Absolutely. All right, Morgan. You're the best. And have fun this weekend.
Thank you.
It's great meeting your parents.
Thanks for having me.
And next week, you'll be back at 4:45 next week, as you are every single Friday.
Every Friday.
And so far, some of the comments are pretty good. So
I want to see. Let's hear it.
We got to go to break, but I'll let you read.
All right.
You know, and again, don't take everything personally because you should see what they call me.
Oh, great! I'm scared now.
There's so few of us that are this happy and handsome that I can't take it sometimes. But anyway, why is that funny? All right, 2, 3. Ooh, and a snort at the end. Yes, put that in the promo. That's going in the promo, Chris. All right, 239-337-3776. Fourth and final hour of Sheeman and Shepherd coming up next here on a Friday right here on 99.3 ESPN.